You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account and get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming to you. Our plan today was to talk about some of the playoff races, including how the Avs have done down this playoff push stretch, which we will get to all of that. But first of all, the Avs used their final call-up post-trade deadline pretty early. A month left in the season when they use that call up, and they use it on Alex Galchenyuk. I'm down to see how this goes. Obviously, the Lecky injury kind of forces your hand with the Colorado needing to make another call up there. AJ, how do you feel about the Galchenyuk call?
It's certainly interesting, isn't it? I mean, the whole
it feels like not surprising at all to me in a lot of ways.
Sure. I mean, how it's going to go, I think, is going to be fascinating, because the whole kind of like Galchenyuk Colorado experiment was, let's try and put him at center. Let's see how he does in the AHL. You know, let's kind of get like Greg Cronin
develop
get into
any
the
amount of defense there.
Yeah. And let's see what happens when he kind of gets into the, you know, the AHL school, starts breaking some of his game down into some of the fundamentals. And you know, like Megan had done some great reporting earlier this year on things that Galchenyuk was working on in the AHL. And, you know, the impact that it was kind of having on him and him trying to develop certain habits and, you know, just be committed to certain areas of the game that, frankly, had kind of cost him his NHL career at that point, because offensively, he's still a dynamite player. Has been a dynamite player at the NHL level. So, you know, I think seeing just kind of seeing, you know, and it's only 33 games in with the Eagles, so it's not like
not an eternity down there. Yeah,
yeah, it's not like he disappeared for like 3 or 4 years and then came back up. But you know, 33 games. Let's see what kind of impact it had, because the four brief games that we got to see him earlier this year in an Avs sweater before he really got going with the Eagles were very predictable and not very encouraging. I'm interested to just see, you know, I have tempered expectations, but the guy's been so dynamite for that depleted Eagles roster that
his offense is certainly just too good for that league.
When you see the goals that he's been able to score, especially on a power play down there,
yep,
where you're just like, his shot is just it is better than most AHL goaltenders can handle.
Yeah, it just beats goalies down there, not particularly close. I think he has done a particularly good job at that level of being able to find the soft spots in the ice as well.
Yeah, I mean, 15 goals in 33 games is quite a pace to be on.
If he can give you even 3 or 4 in these last 20 games, I think you probably feel pretty good about it at the NHL level. Now, how much opportunity does he realistically get in the NHL? We've talked quite a bit about the Avs' weird lineup going on in their bottom six with Alex Newhook on a fourth line, sort of. Let's start there. Can you put Galchenyuk and Newhook together, or are you giving up too much on the defensive side in the bottom half of your lineup?
I guess we'll find out. That's kind of the big question there, because one of the reasons that you have had success with a guy like Malgin as a role player is that he does work to try to take care of the defensive end of the ice so that he can go do the fun things with the puck on the other end. You know, anytime you're talking about a guy whose game is most known for skill-related things, you are curious how they're going to translate into more of a traditional role player role. You know, 10 to 12 minutes, you know, not going to spend a lot of time on a power play. Not going to be sitting, you know, riding shotgun next to Nathan MacKinnon or Mikko Rantanen. Like, how does he do? But defensively, I think it does up the ante for if he does end up with an Alex Newhook on a line. It does up the ante for Newhook to make sure. You have to make sure that you are checked in that game.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm going to say long-term plan. I'm wondering what that is. And the long-term plan might be he needs to survive 2 weeks until Lecky can reasonably play again. Or it might look more like a month. I don't actually know. But I just... not sure exactly how the forward lineup shakes out with Galchenyuk in. Allegedly Dennis Malgin might get a game or two in the top six, which we'll see.
He's had those before. I'm not gone well.
Yeah, my expectations are pretty tempered there. This feels pretty similar to the Logan O'Connor chance up there that he got last year. Where, look, as long as it's working, great, ride it. But you know that thing's going to come crashing down to earth eventually.
You put the hot stick there, hope that it goes well, and then when it stops, you find a different solution.
Yeah. So, some shuffling bound to occur over the next couple of days with the Colorado Avalanche forwards. Put it that way.
Yeah, and how it all shakes out, you know, I'm... It would be great if we could get a timeline on Lekkonen, but we know it's going to be a bit. So,
yep.
We'll see how it all you know. This is going to be a game. I think it's going to be a game by game, like just a question mark every game walking into it. What exactly, unless something really really clicks, I think it's just going to be game by game. We'll see. We'll just see what they decide to try today. And I tell you, with the Avs deep into the playoff race that they're in, this is hard because we've talked about them, you know, at this time of year, teams want to tighten screws and they really want to drill down into solutions. And now it seems like, look, if Landeskog does come back and Lekkonen is healthy by the, you know, Let's say Lekkonen doesn't play another regular season game. I don't know if that's the case, but
just estimated time. Why not?
Yeah. Just because a month from today, they're in Nashville, I think, playing their final regular season game.
Yep.
So you're talking about they don't have a lot of time to find answers here. They are once again in like, hey, they just have to get through this mode. And instead of, hey, we're using this time to really figure out what's the combination. Because, I mean, even with Lekkonen, they've been changing lines, trying to figure things out, trying to find something that works. And,
there's some of A, some of B here, right? Like, obviously, Landon getting back in the lineup, you're expecting him to take at least a little bit to get back up to speed if he does come back. Lecky, the bouncing around, maybe there's a little bit of chemistry, but at the same time, certainly with Landy, he's played with some of these guys for a decade now. So there's a baseline there that you have a little bit of confidence in.
Yeah. I would say that the challenge especially is that if Landeskog and Lekkonen are healthy in game one of round one and not before then you are using round one of the postseason to try and figure that out. And if you're really, 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 really good and you're a lot better than your round one opponent, then that might be okay. But if you aren't and, you know, they are, you know, where are they? Where are they over the last, Where are they over the last 17 games? You know, what seed do they end up with? What's their matchup? If they end up on the road in Minnesota with a healthy Kirill Kaprizov, that's not the matchup I don't think that they want in round one, I'll say. Or if they fall to a wild card and they end up on the road going to a Vegas or a Dallas. Those are two pretty good hockey teams that they're going to try to be figuring those things out against. So it's, for me right now, looking at it without having an answer, that's my concern, is that they aren't going to have any answers to any of these questions this year, and they're going to have to use the postseason to try and figure out how to play in the postseason. Like, it's...
Well, let me ask you this then. How much of this can Nathan MacKinnon mask? Certainly given the way he's played for the last month or so. Just an absurd goal scoring pace for that guy. I get it. Some of those games, maybe not his best game overall, but the dude is just putting the puck in the net at will.
Well, I mean, it helps. Like, between MacKinnon and Rantanen, and then if you have those top four guys on defense healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, it sure does make it, like, doable, you know?
You have a bit more room for error, at least.
Yeah, I mean, your advantage goes down, obviously, with those injuries, because it's, oh, we have these guys, but then here's our second tier of guys. And that second tier of guys has two pretty big injuries to it now. And I'm not in the business of doubting Nathan MacKinnon at this point in his career. So we'll see. I've got full confidence that Nathan MacKinnon can find a special level and
drag the team around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But
all right.
How far in a postseason series, how far into the postseason itself? It's really MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar. The Holy Trinity.
Well, gotta strap it on. Even then, you're saying, hey, if these guys can get you through the first round and you can get Aleksei Lalonde back integrated into the team,
yeah,
then you feel better. And, you know, second round and beyond, hard carrying gets a lot harder.
Oh, well, hey, if they end up a wild card and they take on a Vegas or a Dallas and those guys get healthy and they beat that team, then...
Who's going to stop them?
They are the odds-on favorite moving forward to come out of the West once again. So, yeah. I'm not in the business of doubting Nathan MacKinnon right now.
It's what, 12 goals in his last 13 games now, is it? Or is it 11 and 12? Like that, I forget.
The very shocking development of the 4% on ice shooting percentage
not being sustainable. Who could have guessed?
Did not continue with a player that talented.
Yep. Give that guy enough opportunities, puck go net eventually.
Puck go net indeed.
On that note, we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Go over there, you bet $5 on anything, and you get $200 in free bets. So you can get over there, bet on whatever you want, and get some free money to play with. You can put it down on Nathan MacKinnon to score a goal, and most nights since February has begun, you would make money on that bet. Some nights you'd even make money on MacKinnon to score two goals in the night. So not a bad bet to put money on MacKinnon right now, put it that way. Of course, you can bet on all sorts of other nonsense if you're into that thing. I've been checking out a lot of CSGO recently, watching some esports. If you want to bet on that, that's an option for you. If you want to stick to regular sports, also plenty of that to be done as well. I mean, I don't know. Is cornhole a regular sport now? Is that what we're calling a regular sport these days? It's not a convincing face you're making.
I don't know, man. Maybe certainly one of the headliners of the Backyard Olympics.
The Backyard Olympics. I'm here for the Backyard Olympics. All right. happy to make some bets on backyard Olympic events. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Of course, plenty of other stuff you can go bet on over at DraftKings. So get over there, download the app today, use the DNVR code to get the $5 for $200 in free bets. You must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook or the show notes down below for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700, and it's void in Ohio. We are also brought to you by the delicious burritos over at Illegal Pete's. You can go over there, get yourself amazing fresh ingredients from Illegal Pete's. They also have happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m., some delicious margaritas that you can get over there. Highly recommend if you haven't been down to Pete's. You got to go check it out.
No robots, though.
Oh, am I roboting? Sick. Love that for me. It'll stop in a little bit. Instead, get Illegal Pete's, brought to you by the Rudobot. jump on it while you can. Get the food. Get the burritos. Get the margaritas. Currently, for the entire month of March, Illegal Pete's will be donating $1 to Youth on Record for every vodka fresh press sold. So vodka press is also an option. You can stop by one of the 10 locations. Get yourself a Tito's fresh press. And you know that money is going to support Colorado's next big star. So go over there today. Illegal Pete's. Delicious. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Look, AJ, I believe when we talked about it before the playoff push really began, the expectation for Colorado, the target they had to reach was 25-9.
Yeah, and we knew that, The point was the goal of it was 50 points.
Yep.
Because they like immediately out of the gate were like OTL, OTL. And it was like, this complicates it because two OTLs is the same as a win on
and
a
loss.
Road trip.
Yeah.
So it's like, anyway, yeah. Coming out of that break, early February, right? Yeah, because
yep.
They lost in the Pittsburgh game.
Ugh. Yep.
So it was not a great start to that chase for 25.
It was not. Got a lot better. And then it didn't do as better at the start of March. So, I don't know that they're realistically on pace to have a 50-point stretch.
They've had they've got 23 right now.
So, and there's what, 18 games remaining? 17 games remaining?
Yeah.
So they're not, I mean, 17. That's doable. Sorry. Still doable. Not easy. You need to win 13 of those, essentially, to get 26 points. That'd put you 1 point shy. That'd put you at 49 points.
Yeah, and that would be a 106-point season. This was not what they needed to make the playoffs. This was what they needed to
compete for the top of the Central. Yeah.
Push for the Central Division title. That was a, if Dallas stays on the same pace, if they've picked it up, then that gets even harder. If they fall off, it gets a little easier, of course. So that is, that was the kind of conversation that we had. Hey, 50 points, the push for 25 wins to chase down the Central Division title.
Yep.
A lot harder today.
I mean, you know, going 13-4 is not impossible. This upcoming stretch of games kind of need both of these on the back-to-back, I think, to have a realistic charge like that.
Yeah, and but I mean, you do look at the upcoming schedule. Like, we look at this week, right? And we're like, ooh, this is a tough week. Because Toronto, obviously, that's a good hockey team. That, who knows? Like, we'll see.
Sure, sure.
And then Ottawa on the Sega Baba, where Ottawa does not play the day before. So, a rested Sens team. Then you go in and you have a matinee game at Detroit.
Yeah.
A team that, you know, both Ottawa and Detroit, like, helped kickstart Colorado trying to get right and trying to get and get going when they blew both of them out back to back in Ball Arena. But those two teams have since turned their seasons around and played substantially better hockey since those games got played. Detroit's record recently, not great. But those are still teams like with something to play for is what I'm getting at. So they could be challenging games in their own right. And then you have a 6-game stretch when you get back. A 6-game stretch where you play Chicago, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Arizona, Anaheim, Minnesota.
Yeah.
So your baseline is 4-2.
That's like worst case.
Yeah, like your like baseline in that part would be 4-2.
Yep.
And you get both Pittsburgh and Minnesota, not on back to backs, and both of them at home. The Anaheim game is a back to back, but it's a late start. Yeah, and they play at Arizona in a matinee game the day before.
So they're into Anaheim that evening.
Yep.
It's really more than a full day's rest,
yeah,
given the late start from the 1 o'clock start.
Yep. And then if you switch over into the March schedule, they have a home game against Dallas, which is setting up to be a pretty important hockey game. Then they have their last road trip of the season, the last like actual road trip.
Yeah.
Where they play at San Jose, at San Jose, at Los Angeles, at Anaheim, and then finish Edmonton, Winnipeg, and then on the road at Nashville.
Yeah.
So pulling 13 out of 17 is going to be hard because you'll basically need to win all the team. You'll need to win all the games against all the bad teams, and then you'll need to win some of these games against Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Dallas, Los Angeles, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, to realistically do it, you have to go at least 2-1 in your next three here, let's say.
Yeah.
You basically cannot lose at home.
Yeah. Which is where they've been worse.
Not great, yeah.
Yeah, they've been worse at home than on the road by a decent bit.
And then obviously the biggest games, that Dallas game would have to be a must win.
In regulation.
Probably, yeah, yeah. You cannot give Dallas a point.
Yep.
The Edmonton game near the end of the season probably will have some significance as well, assuming, you know, things don't settle.
That might be one where you're like hoping that Edmonton has clinched everything that it needs, yeah, to clinch, and so
and
it's
they
like
are
maybe
just
they
big chillin', yeah.
Maybe they sit a guy or two and you're just like, yeah, I doubt it.
But you never know.
But at this point that's what you're hoping for.
So it's not looking great for the Avs to push all the way to the top of the Central.
Yeah.
Perfect world, they win both their games in hand. They're 3 points back of Dallas. That's what they would have to make up. You know, the Avs technically don't control their own destiny there. If Dallas were to, even if they lose the game to the Avs, they'd still be 1 point up on the Avs. If Dallas won out, they would be the Central Division champs. So they need a little bit of help, but not enough to really call it help. Essentially, yeah, the Avs control their own destiny here.
Yeah, I mean, like, you are talking about, like, they need 1 point's worth of help.
Right.
Like great. Like, that's not a ton of help, but you have to really, really take care of business at a high level. And what put them in this position was the 4 losses in 5 games.
Yeah.
You know, the Seattle game, just that second point. You're talking about, oh, they need 1 point worth of help. There's the point. If they would have just closed against Seattle, it's not like 2 wins in 5 games is stellar, but they would have put them in a position to continue controlling their destiny. And that is, well, I mean, not even getting into tiebreakers. That just puts them on even ground. And
I would say
right now they would lose.
I'm just throwing the tiebreaker out the window. I don't think the Avs are pulling that one back.
It'd be tough, yeah.
For Dallas's schedule, they're not in the easiest part of their schedule at the moment either. Tonight they have Vancouver on a back-to-back for themselves. Then they play Edmonton and Calgary, both on the road. Obviously, that Calgary team probably still close enough to be very desperate to win games like that.
Yeah.
Then they go Seattle and Pittsburgh. Then their schedule gets easier. The back half of, or the back end of March, they get Vancouver, Chicago, Arizona, with a ton of rest in between everything. And even the end of their schedule now doesn't seem that crazy, with Nashville after the Avs game, Philadelphia, Vegas, that's a real game. Detroit, probably not a real game at that point. And they end with a back-to-back against St. Louis, which is not real games either.
Yeah, so, and then the fight for home ice with Minnesota is something. Minnesota's schedule, they still, like, they've got tough stretches here for Minnesota.
Sure.
Doesn't start right away. They play at St. Louis tomorrow.
That's not as tough.
And then they hang out for a couple of days, and then they have back-to-back at home. Both games are at home. So they have a back-to-back with no travel. Must
What's
be
that
nice.
Like? Yeah, I never heard of that before.
But they get Boston, Washington. And keep in mind, no Kirill Kaprizov for the rest of for the games
regular.
I'm about to list. They have no Kaprizov. So Boston, Washington, then they go to New Jersey, to Philadelphia, then home against Chicago, then home against Seattle, and then on the road to Colorado. With no Kirill Kaprizov, if they go 500 in that schedule, I think they've done well for themselves.
Then they start off April with multiple Vegas games, too.
Yeah. Then they Vegas, and then at Pittsburgh. And then they finish up in the Central Division.
They finish pretty. Yeah, the Winnipeg game could be interesting, but
yeah, the Winnipeg game will be on the second half of a back-to-back with a little bit of... They fly from Chicago to Minneapolis, so it's not a lot of travel. But they go from the late game the night before to it's an earlier start. So they won't have a lot of rest, even though there won't be a ton of travel. They'll get in late, and then have that. So just saying, Minnesota's got some challenges ahead of them, especially with the Kaprizov injury and knowing what a huge part of their success he is. We'll see how they handle that. I sure would love to know what it's like to have a home back-to-back like that.
It really feels like the Avs have not had one. Yeah. They've had away and away games on back-to-backs. I don't know that they've had a home-a-home.
Yeah, I don't know that they have either.
They probably have, and I just don't remember it. But the back-to-backs have been rough this year for Colorado, no doubt about it. No, not those ones. There's an away-away. Boy, have they really not had one this year?
No, I don't see one, man.
That's crazy. That's crazy, dude.
I didn't think they did.
What is the NHL scheduler doing?
Yeah, they've been the back-to-backs have been tough this year.
So I guess you can count the Finland one, sort of. I get that one is technically an away game, right? But neither of those teams traveled anywhere.
Yeah, that's really the only one. They just traveled to Finland and hung out for a few days and then played those games. So I guess we'll count Finland. I'm cool with that.
That's as close as the Avs get to one this year. I'll put it that way.
And there was no travel, so I'm cool with that. Yeah, it's fine.
So, AJ, in your opinion, have the Avs lived up to their expectations in this playoff push? Understanding where they're at, where they have to go. Obviously, there's a ton of extraneous factors here. The Lecky injury, EJ's injury, some of the other lesser injuries that the Avs have been working through. Is this good enough, or did you expect more so far from Colorado down this stretch run?
I expected more, but not a lot more. We're talking like maybe two extra wins.
Sure.
If they, to be honest with you, if they close the Pittsburgh game, close the Tampa Bay game, and close the Seattle game. Those are 3 points that I would just say, okay.
I would say even two of those, I think you're pretty all right with.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I think two of them is fair because you did have that giant comeback win over the Oilers.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that I really those are the ones where it's like left them there.
It's interesting too because as far as the standings are concerned, all wins are created equal.
Yeah.
They're all worth 2 points. Doesn't matter how you get there. The schedule does
not matter. Tiebreakers, then they're not created equal.
Sure, sure. Tiebreakers do matter, but it's just not something I ever worry about. If the Avs end up in the second seed because they have less rows, whatever. It's not a fight I'm going to worry about.
Yeah, and it is a thing right now where looking at Minnesota, not Dallas, because Dallas kind of has them.
Pretty handy, yeah.
Yeah, has a big advantage in regulation wins. But right now, with Minnesota, Minnesota has one regulation win advantage on the Avalanche. The Avalanche have two rows advantage on Minnesota. So they're in a good position to take the tiebreaker with the Wild. They would need to do a lot of work to take to catch up to Dallas. Dallas to stop winning hockey games. Like, they would need Dallas to not be very good.
If they catch up in regulation wins to Dallas, they probably just blow by them in the standings anyway.
Yeah.
Just kind of the reality of how those numbers work, unless Dallas is doing some overtime shenanigans to get 2 points on a lot of nights.
Yeah. Also, if, you know, in the world of, you know, if the Avs were to chase down Dallas, they would be in that top seed conversation out west.
Yep.
They are down in they're down a little bit in regulation wins on Vegas. They are down a handful of rows as well, so they would need to do a lot of work.
Ties are bad for Colorado, basically.
Yeah. Colorado's going to have to pass people in the standings.
Yep.
Because their overtime success has really been a big part of their, like a third of their wins or something this year have come in overtimes, shootouts.
Yeah. It's been quite a few overtimes for them.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Dallas also has a ton of overtimes.
They just lose most of them.
When they get to overtime, they just lose for the most part. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they only have three wins.
And 13 losses.
Yeah.
I guess that includes shootouts and the losses, but.
Yeah. They're 3-3 in the shootout.
Yeah. So 10 proper OT losses. That's a lot.
Yeah. Minnesota's 7-4 in shootouts.
That's a lot of shootouts.
That is a lot of shootouts.
Man.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know. Abolish the shootout. You know how I feel about it.
The most shootouts in the NHL this year.
It's gotta be, dude. 11.
Yeah, it is.
Does anyone even? LA has 8.
The Avs have 7.
There's a couple. Yeah, San Jose.
Yeah, there's
7.
There's a handful of 7s. Yeah,
but 11 double digits.
Yeah, LA has 8, and then it's Minnesota at 11. Like. Far and away.
Jeez. That's wild.
Nobody out east. The only team out east with even 6 is Montreal.
East just finishing games, wanting to get to sleep, I guess.
Oh, I should scroll up further. Carolina and the Rangers also have 6.
Still, not very many.
Yeah, right. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway, if you are working some overtime, make sure when you're done, you go get yourself a Breckenridge Brewery to relax. Breck Brew beer available all over the place in all 50 states at this point. You use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. Of course, if you're local, there's 8 on tap down at the DNVR bar, so you can just come on down to the bar, have some delicious ones there. They also have dope merch on the website, breckbrew.com. You can go check out their farmhouse, which is an amazing venue that we've been to a handful of times if you've watched some of our shows from there. Awesome place to go grab a beer. So go check them out, breckbrew.com. And then if you're like Arturi Lekkonen, if you've been injured at work and it's not your fault, call 222-2222. Nice. You know, it doesn't have to be at work. If you had a car accident, even if you weren't driving, if it was a rideshare situation, motorcycle, whatever, if you're injured and it was someone else's fault and you have not been compensated, Bacchus and Schenker has your back. They will get you what you deserve. You can set up a consultation, with the number twos, or you can go to coloradolaw.net. Either way, they'll listen to you. If they think you have a case, they will take it on for completely free. It costs you nothing until you win your case. So you get compensated. You basically don't have to pay for it. It's the best way to get in and get what you deserve. They're great at what they do. They've been doing it for over 25 years. Everyone who's lived in Colorado for more than 5 minutes basically knows who they are. So, oh, okay, cool.
Cool.
go check it out, Bacchus and Schenker, today. A two number, coloradolaw.net. They will win you many, many, many dollars. Once you've done all that, make sure you also check out Game Time. Maybe you've got a little bit of money you made from Bacchus and Schenker. You want to go see an Avs game or a Nuggets game or any other game around the country, you can get your tickets at Game Time with the link down in the description below. They have provided tickets rather for over 15 million different users. You can jump on that. You can get whatever tickets you want under the sun. And usually prices are up to 60% off through Game Time. So it's a great deal all the way around. Go in there, find your tickets, find a great place to sit. They do have the seat locator. I always say not that big of a deal for Ball Arena, but if you're going to other buildings, make sure you check out those seats, because sometimes there are really, really bad seats in Arena, and Game Time will give you a warning of that beforehand. So just be sure to jump on that one. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ, I wanted to look at some of the other playoff races around the NHL as well today, because honestly, let's face it, the Avs are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here looking at these standings right now, and the Avs currently sit 7 points up on Nashville, and the Preds have a game in hand that I think disappears tonight.
I believe so. It's kind of the bounce back and forth as they have days off, though. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they do play at home tonight against Detroit. So, but yeah, a seven point lead. They have a game in hand. Nashville 7-2-1 in their last 10. The Avs 6-3-1.
Yep.
So they have gained in 10 games. They have gained
2 points.
One game. 2 points. Yep. Yeah.
And even if you throw them the win for the game in hand, they still have to make up 5 points on Colorado down the stretch here.
Yeah. 5 points doesn't sound like a lot. But again, over the last 10, which included a stretch where the Avs lost 4 or 5 games,
they made up 2 points.
Yeah. 2 points got made up in 10 games. So
It's so hard. It's so hard down the stretch to make up points like that. This is true of Colorado trying to chase down Dallas as well. It's just really hard to catch good teams in this portion of the season. So it would be tough for the Avs to drop out of the playoff picture in this one. Honestly, it would probably be disappointing if they were to even drop into a wild card spot, given they have 2 games in hand on Winnipeg and are currently a point up on them.
I mean, it wouldn't be hard, but it would require a really, 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 really big letdown, I think, down the stretch, given the ease of the schedule.
And especially because Winnipeg has played terribly of late.
Yeah. I mean, 3-5-2 in their last 10 opened the door for all of these things to happen. And all, you know, they were neck and neck with Dallas. That's not the case anymore. Their poor play opened up the door for Minnesota and Colorado to walk through. And for the moment, they have.
Yep. Anything is possible down the stretch, of course. You look at that wild card spot. How is Nashville really in this fight? Is Calgary really in this fight for the wild card spots in the West? Edmonton and Winnipeg currently sitting in them.
I mean, they are 6 and 7 points back. And
it's
in the case
deep,
of, in the case of Calgary, you're at 67 games played already.
It's looking pretty grim.
So you have a game in hand advantage on nobody. That's terrible math for them. Like that.
Yeah, it's just not good. It's just not good.
They would really have to go. They would have to put together, you know, a 9-1 in the next 10 to I think be
competitive.
A serious push. Because that obviously would put 18 to 20 points would put a lot of pressure on Edmonton, Seattle, and Winnipeg.
Yeah, true. At that point, you're even trying to threaten for third in the Pacific.
Yeah, and you know, and Minnesota is in a great spot here because at 84 points already with the last couple of wins that they've had, a couple of the OTLs since Kaprizov got hurt, they've banked enough points that they aren't in a major. Like they might eventually, you know, over the next few weeks, they might drop down into the wild card, but they're, you know, when you're 11 points up on Nashville, you don't really look at them and think those guys are going to catch me.
Yeah, definitely don't think much about them. I imagine if you're Minnesota, honestly, I would imagine Colorado probably doesn't think much about them. They're probably more focused on Minnesota and Dallas ahead of them than the teams behind them. So. Maybe a good amount of not looking back down the stretch run in the West here.
Yeah.
If only because of the separation that's been created there. But
yeah, it's really hard for me to believe that Calgary, I mean, just the way that they've played, you know, you're chasing and you're 4-4
and
so
average. Yeah.
Nashville doing the same thing, but they've gotten the results. But also, you know, they sold at the deadline. Johansson is hurt, you know.
Yep.
Is this just one of those stretches where they win some games? Because the Nashville's, like, this is how Nashville's kind of just hung around all year. They will have some stretches where they play pretty well, but they don't ever sustain them.
And they would need
to make the postseason, they would need the stretch they've already had
to collapse, basically.
The 18 games they have left, they would need to put together about 30 games of very good hockey. And if they could put 30 games of very good hockey together, you would think that they would have done it by now.
I can't imagine it being sustainable, like you said, given what they decided to do with the deadline and move in the direction that they did, plus injuries. So you never know. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but
it's stacked against them pretty. I mean, right now I think we're looking at the likely playoff field. But if Winnipeg
the West,
continues to flounder, if Winnipeg really continues to flounder, then they're the ones that you're like, we'll see.
They could play their way out of it. I'd put it that way. In the East,
chat real quick. Okay. We're not going to compare the Lightning getting a 56 game season and then their postseason run and then the bubble Stanley Cup followed up by the 56 game season Stanley Cup. No, we're not comparing any of those to an 82 game season, full 82, and then having the shortest offseason in NHL history and trying to come back. Not trying to take away what Tampa Bay did, but their experience as repeat champs is
very unique, for sure.
Yeah, it will be in unrepeatable circumstances in NHL history.
Yep.
Things broke for them. They did the job. They got it done, et cetera, et cetera. That's great, but No, they are not comparable. What Colorado is going through is much harder than anything Tampa Bay went through.
Just off topic, but yeah, could have maybe been comparable if Chicago had done the thing with the lockout season and gone back to back. Would have been close-ish, similar. Yeah, but
I mean the like several months between the bubble where you can get fully healthy and
that one's pretty unique. Yeah,
yeah, and then following it up with, you know,
the shorter season for sure, yeah, where you don't put nearly as much strain on. Just letting an injury doesn't happen if it's a 56 game season. So
yeah, where I mean, think about if the Avs had only had to play 56 games last year.
Yep.
Like it's not an excuse, man. Good God, it is just reality, my man. It is harder to play through an 82 game schedule. Like, how many games did the Tampa Bay Lightning even play in the 56 game season where they win the cup? Did they even play 82 games that whole year? The difference between playing like 70 some odd games and playing the 100 that the Avs had to, followed up by the shortest offseason ever, like the rest and the grind and all of that, like those are very real components to why repeating is hard.
Also,
because going through an 82 game grind is really difficult. The randomness and the injuries and the way that hockey is.
The thing to me is, you're not supposed to repeat. Like, Vegas put the Avs odds of winning the cup again. It was like plus 400 to start. So 1 in 4, like 25% chance that the Avs actually repeat, which is insanely good odds to repeat. Yeah. Like,
that's from day one. That's before anything starts happening to you.
Yep.
And as we know, the Avs, the great injury, the injury viz Twitter account.
Yeah, that which has the insane amount of stacked war lost for Colorado.
Yeah, but it also showed that this has been the most injured defending Stanley Cup champion team in 20 years.
Yeah.
And so you're talking like things that have been out of Colorado's control. I mean, it's just been bad circumstances. If you want to call it an excuse to look at something and say something bad happened to me, okay. Think about that the next time somebody smokes a guy at a red light or whatever. He's not doing anything wrong. Like, oh, you're making excuses. Like, sometimes bad things just happen in life. And for the Avs, that's been this entire season. They've done a good job fighting through it. They're where they are. They've earned their position, for better or worse. They've earned the position that they are in the standings right now. And we'll see. We'll see if they can repeat or not. Well, I mean, story's unwritten, but they are nothing comparable to what Tampa Bay went through. And that doesn't take away from how awesome Tampa Bay was during their runs. And the fact that they got to 3 in a row is a spectacular accomplishment.
Yeah. It's insane that they were able to do that.
They make 3 Stanley Cups and only one of them comes in an 82 game season.
And they don't win that one. Granted, that was their third one. So there's some context there as well. But
of course. But you look at what was one of the differences. They were so hurt.
Yep.
Braden Point, those things. Like, they were so broken down because the grind of an 82 game season is different.
It's true.
When you have 5 months before the sprint bubble playoffs, you know, everybody walked in healthy. And then you have a 56 game season followed by a postseason, like you're The grind is not, it's just not the same as if they had done that via 3 straight 82 game seasons plus, you know, continuous playoffs that happened right away, whatever. So I am a definite believer the regular season is too long, because I think that 56 game season really opened everybody's eyes to, like, hey, you know what
it's like when they go full bore every night. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is actually kind of cool. What if we did, what if our schedule was more like 66 games, maybe 70-ish games?
You just get a lot less games that don't matter with
schedules. Yeah, well, and by the time you get to 82, it's like, has a lot changed?
No, when you get to 82, it feels like, you know, the first month of the season just doesn't mean that much. It doesn't mean nothing. You can establish yourself with a lead that you can coast with, but if you get out to a slow start, no better proof than the Avs that the first month of the season, if you play poorly, just doesn't matter that much.
I mean, if you're like terrible,
sure, like you look if you go 0-10 or something,
but like you can bury yourself at the start of the season to the point where you need to play 700 hockey for the next 6 months to get back into it. But it is. I definitely do think that the 56 game season was a great example of like, this isn't quite enough, but we're closer here than I think the 82 games.
Yeah.
Because right now the Avs at 65 games played, I'm pretty good. Like if they were wrapping this thing up in 72 games and we were talking about this being the last 2 weeks of the regular season, I think that's right around where I would like to see the season. Just
I'm here for that. Very quickly, just to cover all of our bases, AJ, can your Isles hold on to a wild card spot out in the East?
The big thing for me is that Sorokin is just...
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just goalieing their way through.
And that is given their injury issues recently, too, like that they're here is super impressive. I give them a lot of credit. I was not a believer in them this year, and they have fought through a lot of stuff. So, to answer your actual question, I don't think so.
Sure.
But
pick your poison that, of Florida, that may Buffalo, be because and Washington.
I'm,
yeah.
I'm really like more of like I kind of like Florida there.
Sure.
Because I think they just have like the healthiest mix of all three levels can be good.
If Bobrovsky decides to show up on any given night, they're a good hockey team.
Yeah, like, dude, I just don't know what to make of that guy. Did he get paid and just say, cool, thanks, I'm living in Miami making 10 mil, I'm good? Like, did the competitive spirit just totally drain away from him? I don't know anything about him. I don't know how he's wired or anything. But from afar, it certainly looks like a guy cashed the check and was like,
they just got to put him back on the force, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an all-timer for sure.
It was a good one.
A little bit surprised that the wild card race is as close as it is in the East. For a while there, it felt like even the top eight was just dead set out East. Still, the top six are not close. The top three in each division are very, very set at this point. So there's not really a whole lot of racing going on there, other than, I guess, New Jersey and Carolina for the top of the Metro. But
yeah, and Svechnikov having a serious knee injury really not just hurts Carolina's chances to win that division, but you take Svechnikov out of that lineup, think about how different do you feel about Carolina if they have Andrei Svechnikov and Max Pacioretty healthy?
Yeah, it's a team we've talked a lot about as not having the dude. They lose what is probably the closest thing to the dude on their team.
We talk about them not having the guys in the postseason that can just give you an easy goal when you need it.
Yep.
And those are two of their best shooters right there. That is... I definitely felt for them, and not just of my obvious and very blatant personal love.
I mean, who doesn't love the Canes, honestly?
But like, you know, that sucks. Like, that really does. That's a rough one.
Yep.
That could be the difference between New Jersey shocking everybody and winning that division. Like, it's one thing to be like a surprise, we're a playoff team, and it's another to be like, oh, we won a highly competitive division.
One of the best teams in the East at that point, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think they're probably setting up to get bopped. But
I think so, too, but that's okay.
I mean, how funny would it be Pittsburgh you get Pittsburgh and Washington like sneaking in as the wild cards, and you have Ovi and Crosby as the spoilers to the next generation.
Weird times.
Old guys rule, you know, like
Hey, I just don't forget the lesson you learned last year with Florida. Never bet on the young team that doesn't have the experience, AJ. Never
that
trust
doesn't know
it.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly an interesting it's certainly an interesting conversation, because if Jersey, you know, Jersey will get the first wildcard team. Mm-hmm. If they win,
which
that one
is probably going to be Pittsburgh, but
well, we'll see. It's not like they've been world beaters. Yeah, like
not
they've won
stone,
some games,
sure.
But they have had to jump through some hoops to do
it's,
it. Like,
it's Pittsburgh's to lose. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that I think that's fair. Just games in hand, they already obviously have the points advantage. Like, they're are you really going to bet against Sidney Crosby?
Nope.
Evgeny Malkin,
not in, not in that like, case, at very least.
Are you really going to do that? Like, this might be their last hurrah, but are you really going to do it? Yeah, could be interesting. I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And I think if you look at the East matchups right now, you do look at, you know, Tampa Bay is going through what feels like a pretty typical late season lull where they're like, these games are just not important.
Hey, we're in the playoffs. Cool. We do not care.
They're going to get it all geared back up for the last 10 to 12 games of the season.
Yep.
Get themselves finely tuned to go and tussle with Toronto.
Yep.
I don't know how you look at the first round and say that's the marquee matchup, man. Like, that's the one.
It's going to be the banger. The all of the East round one is going to be bangers, though. Like, every single matchup on the East side I'm looking forward to in round one. No matter, even really? Like, if Buffalo gets in.
If it was Boston and the Islanders, would you really watch that series?
I'd watch it just because Boston's going to throw.
I don't know. I think if it was Boston and the Islanders, I'd be like, oh, man. Hopefully they play when the Avs play, so I have an excuse not to.
There you go. That's
like,
the
hopefully they're
out
lead
of.
Into the Avs every night. So it's like, oh, yeah, I'll watch the last 10 minutes of all these games.
They can't. If there's a lead into the Avs, those games are going an hour long, and the Avs are going to have to sit around. So I'm out on that take. Not here for that. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm good. Anything you wanted to add on these playoff races, AJ?
I'm excited for them for once, because normally I'm usually just like, oh, okay. But I think this year I'm really amped up to watch them, and I'm not nearly as Avs focused as I was last year, where it was like, only one team matters. And, you know.
Yeah.
Last year, I think everybody was just like locked into last season. Like,
yep.
This entire fan base, this whole community, everybody, we were on a mission from God. Blue Brother style.
Right. Like, there was definitely a sense last year of this was it. Like, this was the year for the Avs to do it. And I'm not saying they can't do it this year, but I don't think that feeling is anywhere near as strong this season.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, like, nothing has gone right for the Avs this year. Like, you're just like, whatever. It's hard to feel, for me anyway, it's hard to feel really, really amped up in a season where they felt cursed from day one.
It's been tough, but, you know, maybe you get all the curses out in the regular season, or maybe this is only the beginning of the curses. You never know either way. For us, we're going to get out of here for today. Obviously, with the back-to-back coming up, we got you covered for both of those games in the next 2 days, and the game this weekend, full coverage here on the YouTube channel, here on the dnvr.com. Either way, we hope to see you for the next one. We appreciate y'all, and we will talk to you later.